Blessed are the slaves who are found ready when their master returns. That's not a comfortable word for Americans. Blessed are the slaves. Because we have realized in our society and contemporary America that slavery is not how we want to be, not how God wants us to be. And that's good. So it's hard to hear the word slave and kind of unpeel the layers about what Jesus is talking about. Because slavery in Jesus' time was a matter of the world. So us thinking about slavery in America, slavery, even current human trafficking, is not what this verse is trying to get at. But it's talking about our relationship with God. And what does it mean to be in relationship with God? Jesus is using slavery as a metaphor to help us understand our relationship with our Creator, our true Lord. That's what we're saying when we say Lord. We're saying the one who is above us, our Master, and that we are God's subjects and God's servants and God's slaves. So let's unpack that a little bit. Blessed are the slaves. Let's dive into there a little bit. What is Jesus trying to say? How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon or to the mountains or to the ocean or to the Lake Michigan? The reason I mention that is that that's how I feel when I am talking about this. I feel like I'm standing on the edge of something big, something huge, a wisdom that I only can barely see the tiniest little piece of. And yet, I feel like Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is drawing me forward into this greater depth. Just like standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, it's vast and huge and bigger than I can imagine, and yet I know there's something deep and powerful at work. And that's what I'm inviting you into today. I can't say that I have this all figured out, because I don't have it all figured out. But maybe that's the point, I guess. So here's what I think Jesus is getting at. And I'll tell you some humbling stories about myself to kind of get us there. When I was a younger man, I was a camp counselor, as many of you know from many illustrations that I have shared in the past. And it was my first year being a camp counselor at Camp Mishaluka in Fairview, Michigan. My first year, and the previous year I had been a senior high camper. And it was great, and I loved it. And all the campers who were with me were my friends, and we had gone to summer camp multiple summers in a row. We went to Lake Huron, and we camped on the beach, and we had campfires, and we knew all the songs, and we knew all the inside jokes, and it was wonderful, and I loved it. You know what it's like to be at camp. And the following year, I was a counselor, and they all came back as campers. And I said to my boss, I said, "Oh, let me be their counselor." And many of you older people are chuckling to yourself because you're like, "Ooh, maybe that wasn't a great idea." So let me tell you what happened while I was the counselor of these crazy guys. Is that it was crazy, and all craziness broke loose. And I'll tell you one of the things that was one of, to my great humility. They invaded the girls' cabins. This is something that they did. I don't know why, and I'm trying to control them. They invaded the girls' cabins, and they actually, kidnapped one of the young women. I don't know. We're 18, 17. It's stupid. I'm telling you this, and I'm all like, I'm embarrassed to even share it. I'm supposed to be in charge of these people. And they duct-taped her, arms and legs. This is terrible. This was awful, okay? And so I'm just, losing my mind. I'm like, this is scary. I'm scared. Instead of going for help, I'm like, "Stop, what are you doing? This is awful." And I get out my Swiss Army knife to try to cut the, and I ended up cutting her arm. Pretty fortunately, her dad was a doctor who was there and bound her wounds up very nicely. But like, okay, so the reason I tell you this story in terms of slavery is that I had to go to my boss and say, I can't do this. You have to take over. Things are out of control. I'm not qualified. I thought this would be fun. I thought we could have a good time. It was all about me when I entered into this whole thing. But really, I can't do this. And it isn't about me, and it's not going to be fun. Somebody who really can be in charge needs to be in charge. Because obviously I'm not. And the reason I bring that up is I think that's what Jesus is getting at. Because every time, and I've told you these kinds of stories before, every time where I meet my limits, every time where we meet the point where we're no longer effective, or we're no longer, our powers are limited, when we reach our ability to control things, and we realize we're not in control, and that we are powerless, it's in those moments, in moments like that in my life, where I meet God, where God has stepped in and saved me and resurrected me and resurrected the situation and there's been hope and there's been peace and there's been healing, not because of me, but because of who God brought in or in spite of myself. And that's what I think it means to be a slave. I think that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, blessed are the slaves who are waiting and preparing for the return of their master. It's not about their control. It's not about their power. It's not about their usefulness. It's not about their ability to make it awesome. It's about their master. It's about our master, Jesus. I guess the reason I bring this up today is because this is something that I experience continually. It's not just in these kind of big moments. I was just at summer camp. This is my life. I was just at summer camp, and it was the end of the week, and I had been there for Bridge Builders Leadership Camp, and I'm one of the facilitators, and it was my job to facilitate worship. And so all the young people would come to my workshop and we would plan worship together and then they would go lead worship and it was amazing. Oh, it was amazing how God was working these young people. We cried and we laughed and we built giant fires and we did all kinds of things with smoke and baptism and it was just, you know, this is what I geek out on, right? This is why I'm a pastor. And it was wonderful. And it was the last day and it was Friday and all the kids were hugging each other and giving high fives and taking selfies and saying, oh, I'll see you later. Give me your phone number. And not one kid came up to me and said, thanks, Pastor Aaron. And I was hurt. I was thinking, oh, well, you know, but then it dawned on me as I was driving home, kind of feeling all sorry for myself. Aaron, why did you do this? Did you do this so a bunch of teenagers would like you? Or did you do this because when you do this, you experience God? Well, you know the answer. It's not about me. Blessed is the slave who is waiting for his master's return. St. Francis tells a story, and it's a story that I cannot even wrap my head around right now. But this is just, like I said, we're on the edge, we're on the precipice, we're looking out at a great vast truth. And this is what St. Francis tells someone who understands this truth so much more than me. He tells a story where he was walking with his brother Leo, St. Francis, in the middle of the winter. St. Francis was walking with brother Leo in the middle of winter, and he says, brother Leo, write this down. Brother Leo readies the tablet. Brother Leo, write this down. And St. Francis says, if all the Franciscan brothers, if all the brothers had all the knowledge in all the world, And they could heal all the diseases because they knew about every plant and every animal and every cure. They would not have perfect joy. And then continue walking. And St. Francis stops and he says, "Brother Leo, write this down. Brother Leo, if all the brothers could speak all the languages and talk to all the people in all the other countries and give the best sermons in the whole world, that everyone would be converted, they would still not have perfect joy." Brother Leo writes it down. And they work further along. And St. Francis goes to Brother Leo, "Brother Leo, if all the brothers could understand everything there was about everyone everywhere and could peer into their minds and hearts and souls and discover all the mysteries of the universe, the stars and the heavens and the earth and the planets and the times, they would still not have perfect joy." Brother Leo, finally catching on, says, "But St. Francis, what is perfect joy?" And he said, as they trudged through the winter, if we were to come to the place where we were going and knock on the door, if we were to knock on the door and the doorman would open the door and say, 'Get out of here, you crazy men. You're just trying to stay here and steal from us.' And we said, 'Oh, no,' we protested, 'It is but us. We're two humble brothers. We come here to lodge with you.' And he closed the door on us and kicked us back out in the snow. And we accepted that with humility and peacefulness and no hint of vengeance. And again, we knocked on the door and we made our protestations even louder. 'Oh, brother, let us in, let us in. It is cold and we are dying and we are hungry and we are brothers of the order. Come and let us in, please.' And he opened the door and he said, 'Get away, you crazy men. You're terrible and evil and we don't want you at all.' And we bowed our heads in humility and we said, and we accepted this. And then finally we knocked again and we said, 'Brother, brother, you must let us in. It is cold and we are wet and we have journeyed long and it is night. Please let us in.' But this time he took out his club and he beat us on the head. And he said, 'Get away,' and closed the door." And I want to read this part because St. Francis says it the best. He said, "Now, brother, listen to the conclusion. If we bear all these injuries with patience and joy, thinking only of our Lord and his sufferings, that we should share out of love for him, write this down, Brother Leo, that here finally is perfect joy. And now, brother, listen to the conclusion. Above all the graces and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit which Christ grants to his friends is the grace of overcoming oneself and accepting willingly, out of love for Christ, all suffering, injury, discomfort, and contempt. For in all other gifts of God we cannot glory. Above all the graces and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit which Christ grants to his friends is the grace of overcoming oneself." That is perfect joy. Blessed are the slaves who are about their master's business, who are waiting on him and waiting for him. I guess the caveat here and the warning is that as Americans, This is never an excuse for someone to submit to abuse. I have to say that. This is a complex and deep truth that has been used to subjugate people. To say, you ought to submit to this because you just need to bear it for Christ. If you yourself are experiencing abuse or know someone who is, this is not an excuse for that. Abuse should be fought. And people who are being abused should be protected. And as I started in the beginning, this text was used to subjugate slaves, but this is not about that. This is about serving our true, benevolent, loving, caring master, Jesus. And overcoming, getting out of the way of our own selves to allow our true lives in him to be revealed. Blessed are the slaves who he finds waiting, for he will put on his belt and have them sit down and serve them. It is a father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we have to get out of the way. And all God's people say, Amen.